This episode of Fermented Adventure, the podcast, is sponsored by Brewskits, handcrafted dog treats made from spent beer grains, oats, barley, and rye. No chemical preservatives, a great source of fiber, and packed with protein. Visit brewskits.com to see the full selection of treats for your dog and your cat. Receive 15% off, no minimum purchase, on your first order by typing in lowercase FA2024. At checkout. In this episode, Dawn and I had the privilege of touring with Glenn Smith of Brewery Tours as we toured through Lancaster and visited Rural City Beer Company, Isaac's Brewery, and Our Town Brewery. Stay tuned after the interview with Glenn to get a little taste of what the brewery tour is like. This is definitely something you should sign up for, whether it's on their York tour, Lancaster tour, or one of the other amazing tours that they lead. Cheers! Ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Sheen, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings, and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guest. He's Glenn Smith. I'm Rich Shane. Dawn Ranieri's here, and this is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Glenn Smith of Brewery Tours, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us back.
Well, you had us. We just finished a brewery tour. Wow. Dawn and I, we talked the whole way about our experience. This was so much fun. And what I wanted to talk to you about, first of all, tell us about the rules of the brewery tour.
Oh my goodness, the rules. Well, other than, you know, staying hydrated, because you got to have water in you, you know, because we do have a fair amount of alcohol that's consumed in this. And besides the fact that cleansing your palate is, number one, you got to try every beer we put in front of you. There's 12 different beers. Some of them you may not have heard of before. Some of you can go, well, I don't like that style. But no, you're going to try every single one of the beers. But the other rule is you don't have to finish any of them.
Well, what I enjoyed is, I guess there's a different experience or a different place where people are coming to for the brewery tour. Some maybe with some experience and some without. Glenn, I have to say, this is like, you were a guest of the podcast back in May of 2022.
Wow.
And it's very interesting to see where you have come from, where you are now, where you're going. But what I got to experience today for Dawn and I was, this isn't just a beer drinking tour. This is, you learn about the history of beer. You learn about beer itself in terms of the different kinds of beer. And you learn, we're in Lancaster. You taught us about the history of Lancaster. This is a historical walking tour. Now, when we started, you were just in York. You branched out into Lancaster. Talk about the expansion since we talked last.
It really has been something fascinating. We celebrated our 5-year anniversary back in October of last year, of 23. And if you asked me back in 2018, you know, where we would have been, I probably wouldn't have said here. So it has been such an interesting evolution of our experiences, starting off with just a single walking tour in York City, and now we've got a fleet of brew buses. We're here in Lancaster. We've got train rides. We've got a riverboat cruise. It's really gone beyond what I would have thought.
I can say, again, being on the tour today, it was such a wonderful experience for us because we got to really learn. I mean, you taught me stuff today that hopefully some of the audio comes out
of the history of beer and whatnot. But Glenn, your wealth of knowledge of beer, it really shows and comes out your passion for beer, your passion to teach people. And in these last couple of years, what are some of those moments, any recollection of any of these moments on some of these tours that, you know, stories that come out for you?
Boy, you know, one of my favorite stories is I had a couple on a tour, and it was in downtown York at the time. And it was, we were at Old Forge Brewery, which unfortunately their tap room is no longer in York, but they're up in Danville, Pennsylvania. Wonderful brewery. Big shout out to those guys up there. Love them to death. So the wife wasn't trying her beer. And I was kind of watching, and, you know, the husband's doing his thing. And I just kind of leaned over and I said, hey, I noticed you're doesn't look like you're enjoying yourself. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've always tried my husband's beers and I never found anything I like. I'm just not a beer drinker. And I'm like, all right. So I asked her, I said, well, what do you normally like to drink? And she said something like, you know, pineapple and Captain, something like that. All right, hold on. And I walked away and I came back and I had a glass and I slid it over to her and I said, try this. And she goes, what is it? I go, don't worry about it. Just try it. And I think we're just doing audio here. There's no visual.
So
I'm going to explain here. So she took a sip and she lifted her head up off to the right and she stared out somewhere. And I'm watching this and I'm not sure if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know what just happened here. So I go, what happened? And she comes back around and she goes, I like this. What's this? I go, it's a beer. And I kid you not, she stood up from the table. She put her arms up in the air. She goes, oh my God, I like beer. And she bought a 4-pack of it. It was their blood orange, Gosa.
Okay.
And it kind of fit in line with what she normally likes to drink. And what really thrilled me to no end is they walked out of there now being able to share something else as a husband and wife. They both can enjoy a beer together. Maybe it's not the same beer, maybe it's not the same style, but they can go somewhere and enjoy a beer together. And that is just, yeah, there's not enough money in the world for that experience. That's just outstanding.
Well, I heard that on the tour today. One of the guests, her name was Judy, and she said, I think there was a certain beer that she said she didn't like, but then she said, wow, I like this. Now, we're at Rural City Beer Company, and, you know, so every brewery is going to be different. How do you go about selecting the breweries that you choose to have on your tour here, at least for Lancaster, where we are now?
Yeah, and I don't mean this as to be negative for anybody that's not on our tour, because that's certainly not the case, because there are so many breweries to pick from. Lancaster has 40 breweries. York County has 32 breweries. South Central Pennsylvania has over 90. There's so many breweries here, but you can't play with everybody. And for people that are coming into the area, like the tour today, you know, we had people from Philadelphia, you know, including you guys. We had people from New Jersey. Last week, we had people from Miami. They all need to be big hitters. So when people come on our tours, they're going to get the best of the best. You know, we're picking breweries that we believe do a very good job and also have a very interesting selection of beers. Because you don't want to go in and go, oh, they're all IPAs. Oh, they're all sours. Is we want to provide a selection of beers so you can have an interesting curated experience.
Brewskits. Beer, grain, dog bones. Brewskits. Your dog will go wild. Brewskits. Beer, grain, dog bones, a healthy alternative for your pup.
Brewskits are all natural and made in the USA. Visit brewskit.com. That's brewskit.com.
I enjoyed, for me, how you said, all right, we're going to start here with a Pilsner, and we're going to go to another brewery with a Pilsner. Now, my recollection may not be side to side, but at least I can see what the expression
demonstrates what the characteristics of it. So it's not just like, are we going to do a stout? We're going to do a sour. We're going to do a pilsner. We're going to do a lager. You really get to, in your mind, in your palate, experience the way you've curated this. It's just really fun. And like you said, you had people from Miami, people from Philadelphia. Now that we've had a chance to experience this tour, this is so much fun for like 4 hours, but it's drinking, it's history, it's beer education. And for those that think they know everything about beer, you impart, I mean, your knowledge of beer, like you said, you've been to like, what, 70,000 breweries at this point?
Glenn? At least.
Yeah. No, but you have the experience that if a question comes up, or like you and I said, look, this beer to me didn't taste like a Kolsch, but it was a Kolsch.
Yeah.
So we had a really fun banter about it because you start to say, all right, these are the characteristics of a Kolsch. It kind of loosely falls into that, so it must be that. But even still, that it stumped both of us, I guess, in a way.
It did. It absolutely did. Yeah.
So, I mean, for anybody looking for a gift for like a holiday or marking a passage of time, this has been a wonderful experience. And now it's almost like, all right, well, you've got the train excursions, you've got the motor coach excursions, you've got the walking tours in York and Lancaster coming to a city near you, I would imagine, at this point. So everything's going to be different for people to experience.
That's one of the things that we really wanted to focus on, is every experience is different. The walking tour here in Lancaster City is different than the walking tour in York City. So if you come back and do that one, it's not going to be the same. There might be little pieces, you know, that have some similarity about it from the education of beer standpoint, but wherever our experiences are, they're about where we are. If we're in Lancaster, it's about Lancaster. If we're in York, it's about York. If we're in Baltimore, it's about Baltimore, and so on and so forth.
We had talked a little bit, and I said, save this, because I want to talk to you about this on the podcast. But where craft beer is at today, and, you know, you and I had a conversation, for as many breweries that are closing, more are opening. You are the pulse of craft brewing. What do you see is on the horizon, or what's your take on craft brewing 2 years later from our initial conversation?
I really don't see it slowing down at this point. There's been a lot of talking heads, you know, over the past 6 months that, you know, the bubble has burst, and I don't see it. At least I don't see it in this region of the country. You know, Pennsylvania is strong. We're number two in the country for the number of craft breweries. We're only behind California, which is twice the size of Pennsylvania. We're brewing more beer than anybody in the country, again, with the exception of California. Pennsylvania is incredibly strong. And we continue to open up more breweries than breweries are closed. Look, you know, breweries are always going to close. In any industry, there's going to be businesses that close. That's just the way it works for whatever reason. Bad business model, you know, somebody retired, whatever the case is. But we continue to see more breweries open. Here's an interesting thing, you know, is how many bars do you have in your neighborhood today?
Oh, we're from Delco. So Delco is the epicenter of the corner bar.
Okay, so maybe you're the bad example.
All right, sorry. Never
That's
mind.
Okay. You know, there's fewer and fewer bars today. Because people don't go down to the bar. They go to the local brewery. The brewery has kind of taken that space over. Whereas, you know, if you and the boys are getting together, you're going to the bar over here, or the brewery, and having a pint. You know, you and the missus are going out for some dinner. You may be going to the brewery to have dinner. You're having a board meeting, you know, or, you know, you're meeting your nonprofit. You may be having it at the brewery, you know, and maybe you're going to take the family to the brewery as well and play some board games or go for trivia night or, you know, have yoga Sunday morning. You know, is breweries have transformed into these community hubs that bars never could. Because that's where you went to get away from your wife.
Is that why you go to the brewery, Dawn?
All the time.
Okay. Well, it was interesting because Isaac said, or John at Isaac's Brewery, talked about the fact that there was a point where the number of breweries in Pennsylvania finally reached the same amount of breweries that were open at the time of Prohibition that had obviously closed. So it's taken almost 90 years to catch up, to have this many breweries open at a point in time when they were shut down.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, when you look at communities, the brewery was the place where you got your mail. People had their mail delivered at the brewery. And that was the community. That was where you learned about politics and what was going on in the neighborhood and things like that. So it's very understandable that the craft brewery, the local corner brewery or the local town brewery, means something to the community as it does.
It does. And a couple things about that, you know, our breweries, our brewers are involved in the community. They're just not sitting here in the brewer, you know, waiting for somebody to come in and buy a pint. They're being engaged in the community. They're getting involved in causes and fundraising and, you know, other types of involvements. So they've become this thread in the community that really pulls a lot of things together. And to Johnny's comment, the thing that I find fascinating about that is when you look at the numbers and compare them to Prohibition, pre-Prohibition, there were that many breweries because there had to be, because we didn't have the technology to, you know, have the mass distribution systems that we have today. They didn't have the brewery systems that we have today. They brewed beer. Every town had their own brewery because that's essentially what the system provided. We don't need to have that anymore, but yet we do have that now. So there's a difference between need, you know, where we need to have it because that's what the environment, that's what the industry is capable of doing. Today, it's because we want to have that many breweries.
When we started out here at Rural City, I mean, we talk about different family ownership in different breweries, but it's also different personalities in brewing styles.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the things that is very top of mind when I think of why do I want to go to one brewery versus another, because I know I'm going to get different personality, different expressions from that brewer today.
Yeah, that's really something that's fascinating. At the end of the day, we're dealing with four ingredients. We got water, we got hops, we got grain, and we got yeast. And everybody's working with the same stuff. But yet, everybody's able to put their own spin on it, their own personality, their own characteristics on it. And the IPA over here at Brewery A is different than the IPA over Brewery B. And to be able to create that persona is critical for any brewery to survive. Because look, we got 10,000 breweries in the country now. 10,000 breweries. You know, and yet somehow they're all managing to keep their doors open and sell pints because they're all doing something special, unique.
Well, when you talk about 10,000 breweries today and where you are, and you talk to people quite often, where are you seeing with brewery trends, the customer, what they're expecting? We talked 2 years ago. What has emerged from the consumer, or what are you seeing that may be the new trends, or maybe something that breweries are looking to do more, or the customer is now looking for?
I kind of see a return to the old is what I see, where there's a lot of breweries that are doing a basic pilsner. That's a good example. It's one of those gateway beers, you know, because, you know, your dad is back home having his, you know, his Yingling or his Miller or whatever that is. And the concept of a brewery to that generation isn't necessarily something that's welcoming. It's like, you know, I've been drinking the exact same beer since I was 20 years old, you know. And the brewers have I think, figured out that they need to provide that transition beer to get you in the door to open you up to other experiences. So I think there's less crazy beers, you know, where you had the double pineapple, banana, strawberry, smoothie, whatever beer.
That's still my favorite.
It is. So I think there's been a lot more focus on classical trends. There's a lot more, I think you're seeing the Kolsch's and the golden ales, the easier drinking beers. That seems to me to be the trend.
I have to say we had such a great time. Dawn and I, this was so much fun.
It was fun.
And, you know, getting a little bit of an idea of what you do, but now seeing it in person. Like I said, if you have an anniversary, a birthday, a family gathering, I mean, you know, we're very close to Philadelphia. You're close to Baltimore. It's an hour or so away. I mean, we came out in a snowstorm today. I mean, literally, you wake up, it's 3 inches or whatever they want to call it. But what you're providing to the community and what you're providing to, whether you're a beer aficionado or a novice, you really, like, you didn't talk down to anybody, but you didn't talk up to anybody either. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, wow, this is like somebody that really knows his beer. And I learned something today. Not that I wouldn't have, but you're like a treasure trove of knowledge, but experience too. And it really comes across, and what your guests had a chance to experience was pretty, pretty fabulous.
It's very kind of you to say that, and thank you. You know, it's at the end of the day, this is a passion, and I kind of hope it shows. I just love talking about this, and it's rewarding for somebody to walk out of our tour learning something new, finding a new beer that they like. You know, it's there's so much out there, and to have at least a little bit more confidence walking into a place going, oh, wait a minute, I know what ABV stands for now, or, you know, I know what, you know, a Dunkel is, or something along those lines, is you're now able to have a better experience wherever it is you go. And that's what it's all about, is having great experiences. So I was thrilled to have you guys join us today, because it's one thing to talk about it, but to actually experience it, it's a whole different world. So I'm thrilled to death.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, I think what happens now is, and you talked about it, maybe you'll find your next beer, your next experience. Now you know when you walk into a brewery, you now might take a chance versus, either I don't like beer or I'm sticking with my same old, same old. Now you can look at that beer list and go, you know what? I'm curious. I had that on the brewery tour. Let me see what yours is like.
Yeah.
And maybe I find my next favorite beer.
And you have some tools in your toolbox. So you can pony up to the bar and talk to the bartender and say, hey, tell me about that IPA.
Yeah.
You know, is it a really hoppy beer? Is it a fruity beer? You know, it's, you can have a conversation with somebody and maybe not feel absolutely comfortable, but feel a little bit more comfortable, you know, in what you're doing. And it's only going to result in you having a better experience.
For those that now want to sign up or reserve space on the brewery tour, how do they find you?
Absolutely. You want to go to our website, which is ultimatecraftbeerexperience.com. All of our tours are bookable online. The only exception to that are charter and groups. So if you want to have a private charter or group, you can just call us or send us an email. Email is info@ultimatecraftbeerexperience.com. Phone number 717-660-0767.
Glenn, thank you again. This has been such a treat. This has been such a wonderful experience. I learned so much more about Lancaster and beer today, and what you imparted and what you shared is really special. So thanks for doing that. So this is what you have to look forward to when you come on the brewery tour, and just be ready, because you're going to have fun and you're going to learn and you're going to drink, and it's just a wonderful experience. So thank you so much for that.
My pleasure. Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast.
So,
This beer, as I said, is called the Lager 134. Here's a couple acronyms we're going to be using here today with some numbers that we can talk about. First is called an ABV. What does ABV stand for? There you go. All right. Congratulations. Well done. Alcohol by volume. The alcohol by volume, the ABV on this, is 5%. Okay? 5%. So that's important. So when we talk about beers, whether you're out at the brewery, at the bar, at the restaurant, at home, what have you, when we talk about a normal beer, an average beer, which is, you know, your Bud, Miller, Coors, all those types of beers, those are typically around 4%. So when it comes to the body, you process beer, for the most part, one 12-ounce average beer in the course of an hour. So if you take a look at it like a bell curve, when you consume that alcohol, the alcohol in your system, your blood alcohol level starts going up as the body metabolizes the alcohol. It empties out of the body by perspiration and other means. So if you have one normal 12-ounce beer, 1 hour from now, you should be back down to zero. Okay, so ABVs are important. So when you take a look at ABVs, you go, okay, I had a 10-ounce, you know, Imperial Stout. It's going to take longer than an hour for that to go out of your body. So when you get pulled over by the cop and he says how many beers you had, and you go, two, depends which two you had, right? So ABVs are really important. All right, the other thing that we talk about is IBUs. What does IBU stand for? Who said that? There you go, incoming. Oh, look at that. All right, wonderful. That's right, International Bitterness Units. So International Bitterness Units, I don't like International Bitterness Units because I don't know what your experience has been, but a lot of people walk into bars and they go, what's the IBU? Notice there's no IBU on the chart because people make decisions based on the IBUs. It's too high. It's too low. And the reason the IBUs, A, you don't have to tell them because it's not required by the law. But the other one is you just want them to try the beer, right? Taste the beer because IBUs are a bit tricky because it's based on the bitterness of the hops, right?
So it's based on the specific hops, the alpha amylase, all that stuff. But it also comes down to when the hops are added to the kettle as well. So the earlier the hops are added, the higher the IBUs. And that could be changed over by perception of hops as well. Some IBUs come from dry hopping, but not too many. But also, like I said, dry hopping with different hops can also perceive different bitterness as well. So
yeah, so there's different adjuncts that can be put into the beer. Lactose is a good example, where it offsets the bitterness. So although it has a higher IBU, it may not pack that real bitter punch. So if you do see IBUs out there, don't let it affect your choice. Try the beer first and see how that kind of plays out. Okay? So ABVs, IBUs, those are some of the things we're going to talk about. The style in this particular beer, this is a Pilsner, okay? So Pilsner is the most popular style of beer in the world. You know, when you talk about Bud and Coors and Miller and all that stuff, they're all Pilsners. They're all Pilsners. And some of the most oldest and most popular beers in the world are Pilsners. They've been around for a very long time. Now, with all beers, they all tend to have some interesting stories behind them as well. So this particular beer, where does it come from? Any guess? I don't know if you know this one.
German lagers or just in general?
Pilsner, the original Pilsner.
I would say Czech Republic?
Yeah, it's from the Czech Republic. It's from a little town called Pilsen. So, yes. So it's an interesting story. So this actually goes back to the 1600s. And at that point in time, every town had a brewery, right? So that's what they did. And this particular brewer ran into a problem. He had a contamination that happened with his beer. The beers all went sour, and not like a drinking is sour. They all went sour. And beer was such an important thing that the townspeople rised up. They broke into the brewery, got the barrels, smashed the barrels, poured the beer into the street, and chased the brewer out of town. So the town officials went, oh dear God, we have a problem. So they had to go find a new brewer. And, you know, they didn't have LinkedIn or Indeed back then. So they had to actually go out and find somebody. And they found a gentleman. His name escapes me at this time. But he came from Bavaria, which was the next neighborhood over, so to speak. And he came over and he goes, hey, guys, I have this new style that's kind of coming around now. So let me digress for a sec. There's two types of beer in the world. What are those two types? Everything out there is either this or that.
Good
or bad. I love it.
You got it.
Now that deserves one. There you go. Okay, what two types? Any guesses? What's in the name of this beer? Hey, there we go, lager. Lagers and ales. That's right. That's right. And I'm overly simplicating this, but it's you know, the types of yeast that's used. Okay, and I'll explain that a little bit more. One of the other stops we're going to have is we're going to be visiting into the brew house, and I'll walk you through how beer is actually made. But yeah, there's lagers and there's ales. Ales were around much longer than the lagers. So this guy came along and he goes, hey, I got this new style. We call it a lager. And they really enjoyed it. And in fact, that brewery, I forget the name of it, excuse me, but Urkel, thank you. Yeah, Urkel. They founded the Urkel Brewery, and it is the oldest brewery in the world. It's still in operation, so you can go over there and have that Pilsner that they have over there. And you can probably find it in a lot of distributors as well. So, yep, so we got a Pilsner here. And this Pilsner is a little bit different than traditional Pilsners because, as Ben said, they dry hop this one, right?
Yeah, very lightly dry hopped. Just for some fun. Adds a little sweetness to the beer as well. That's what I'm drinking right now, just so I can drink with you guys. But there's some nice maltiness in the back end. Very low bitterness as well. This was dry hopped with New Zealand Pacifica. Just kind of fun to do that with. No cool backstory to that, but I just thought it was a cool hop.
Can I ask what is dry hop?
Dry hop, it usually is after fermentation. Some people do it during fermentation, but it usually means when you're taking hops and putting it into the fermenter or unitank or bright tank or however your process is. Letting it sit, letting all those oils get into the beer and change the flavor to what that hop is usually used for.
So the whole connotation of dry hop, I honestly don't know where the term came from. There's nothing dry about it.
Yeah, the hops are dry before it. So with hops, they're actually a natural preservative as well. So adding them to the kettle helps with that, the preservation as well. And I don't know if I'm giving too much away, but with IPAs, originally it was India Pale Ale, and when England was trying to take over India, or whatever that process was, but when they were moving that way, they wanted to bring beer with them because that was very important to their culture. So when that would happen, they would get to India and the beer would become sour and they would become upset, and then more bad things would happen. So then they started experimenting with the hops that were from the local area and just stuffing them into the barrels. And on that 2-month travel down the coast there, it would come out and it would be a little more hoppy. I don't know how good it was personally, but but it was not sour and it was safe to drink as well. So just kind of a cool thing from hops.
That's spot on. That story is absolutely true. The backstory on it is equally interesting because that beer was never made for public consumption, the IPA. It was made for the soldiers down in India. It was until one of the ships shipwrecked. And what they would often do at that time is they would try to salvage whatever they had left over from the ship and sell it and try to recoup some of their losses. It just so happened some of the barrels survived. Somebody bought it, tried it, goes, what the heck is this? Can you make it here? And he said, yeah, yes. And they started making it for the general public at that point. So, but for that shipwreck, we may never have had IPAs. You know, so yes, thank you, yes. Although the interesting aside, I've always wondered, because, you know, they said, we got to get the ship from England all the way down to India. I said, why the hell didn't they just make a brewery in India? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good point.
No idea.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to our second one. Let's do Chopper next. That is the dark beer that we have sitting there. So what are you guys getting out of this one? What are you tasting? What are you smelling? Caramel. Okay, yep.
Say coffee.
Yeah.
Some roasted notes in there.
So did Ben put caramel in this? So where does that caramel come from?